These days, I can't get too far without these here. After we sing that song, it almost feels wrong to speak. The room gets a little quieter, and I think our defenses are a little lower. But I think that's exactly where Luke begins his story of Jesus. It's not about crowds. It's not about kings, and it's not about noise, right? It's about stillness. It's about listening. You got a young woman, who knows, 12, 13, 14, alone being addressed by an angel sent from God. And this morning, I hope we can sit in that same holy, quiet place. This morning, I'm inviting all of us to listen to how love arrives in this world. We have been celebrating Advent, and that is a word that literally means arrive, arrival. And these last 3 weeks, this is our fourth week, we've been talking about aspects of who God is and who Jesus is and what his birth has meant for this world. And we look back to his first arrival, and we look back and we see the concept of hope, that we need to be a people of watchfulness, of expectancy, that God does interact with us. And we can look forward to when Jesus arrives again and not be left flat-footed and unexpected with unexpected hearts. You know, we've talked about peace, and we've talked about there's a type of peace that this world cannot give us, as was read this morning already. It's a fragile peace that this world tries to offer, but there's something foundational in who God is and how he has made us that even in the midst of chaos, we can have a deep abiding sense of security because we know who he is. Peace. And we are also the type of humans that can be peacemakers, to put ourselves in situations to be reconcilers. That's who God is. Amen. We've talked about joy. I appreciate Nick talking about that last week, by the power of joy that is not circumstantial. There's just this disposition. And he taught us that we can learn a lot from our children. And I think it's beautiful that our children are with us this morning. They can teach us a lot about joy. And he reminded us that maybe some of us need to mature into childlikeness. Joy. That's what the birth of Jesus can help us to focus on. And today I invite all of us to listen to how love arrives into our world. You see, love does not arrive loudly. Luke 1:26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. Nazareth is insignificant. Mary is insignificant by the world standards. And nothing about that moment suggested importance. And yet, this is where the story of the salvation, the redeeming, the rescuing of this world begins. You know, we just sang Silent Night. That song, I think it trains us to expect something, maybe dramatic, maybe angels, glory, light. But Luke tells us, you know, before the glory, there's actually quiet obedience. God's love doesn't crash into history. It enters gently, asking for consent. In this fourth week of Advent, focused on love, love is not sentimental. It's not fickle. It's not something you fall into or fall out of just because of your feelings. It's not even an abstract thing. It's relational love. It's a love that pours itself out and waits for a response. So love did not arrive loudly. You know what else we can learn from this story? Man, we can learn what it means when the Lord is with you. The angel says to Mary in verse 28 of Luke 1, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Notice what comes before Mary really says anything. God doesn't say, "I'll be with you if you agree. I'll be with you if you totally understand what's about to happen to you. I'll be with you, you know, once all of this thing works out." No. We learn that the Lord was with Mary. And I think if we have ears to hear, we can learn that the Lord is with us even before there's clarity, before certainty, and even before consent. That's the heart of love. God with us precedes our faithful reactions. Sometimes we need to remember that. Mary's confused. She's a young girl. She's troubled. She's afraid. But God is already with her. And for many of us, that might be the most important word this season, that God is with you even before life makes sense. There are many of you, even in this room, who have been thinking about giving your life to God. And you're trying to figure out, does it all make sense? Well, I'm here to tell you, it might not all make sense. But God is still with you. He was with you when you were being knit in your mother's womb. Yes, he waits for a response. He ain't gonna force nothing into you. But he's even with you right now as you're trying to figure things out. You see, love asks and it does not coerce. Mary's trying to figure it out. She's like, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." You know, she's trying to figure it out. The chapter before, the verses before, you get Zechariah, he's a priest, he's supposed to know it all, and he's doubting when the angel comes to him. And he gets silence, doesn't he? But Mary, her questions are more about discernment. How can this really work? And God honors her. God doesn't force the incarnation. He doesn't force becoming flesh. He makes space for you to give consent. He invites your participation. He doesn't want spectators. He wants people willing to participate with him. You know what else love does? Love risks rejection. That's what we learn about God. He puts himself out there. He doesn't coerce anybody. And he risks being rejected. What an amazing God. That was true in Luke 1, and it's still true. God with us is never God forces us. What else can we learn? What about verse 35? How would you have responded if you were Mary? "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." How do you make sense of that? She's asking a question, that's her answer. That's not an explanation. That's just a mystery right there. There's a saying that Luke doesn't give Mary a lesson on biology, but theology, right? See, God's love is not an idea. God's love takes on flesh. Son of God. This is relational language. Love's pure light. Love is not just a concept to admire. Love is a person to receive and adore. Jesus comes in dependence. God with us chooses to be vulnerable among us. Wow. These are things that we can remember during this season of Advent. And Mary's response may be one of the most important sentences in Scripture. "Here I am, the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Other translations, "Let it be with me according to your word." That's not just passive resignation, like, okay, I guess you got me. No. That's courageous availability right there. Mary just abandons the outcome to God. She offers herself to the presence of God. You see, that's the whole way this world works, guys. God offers himself to us. God is self-giving. God pours himself out to us. That is what biblical love really is. That is who God is. God is love. God is self-giving. God is self-pouring out. God is self-emptying for the benefit of others. That is the definition of love. And so what does he expect from that? He's not going to force you. He's not going to coerce you. But what is the expectation, or at least the response that is available to us? It's Mary. It's, you know what? I'm a servant. I'm going to reciprocate. I'm going to reciprocate. You're giving of yourself. Well, I'm going to give of myself. Do with my life what you want. I give you my adoration. I give you my full participation. I give you my devotion. I give you all my decision making. I give it to you. I give you my life because you've given to me. This beautiful reciprocity, that is what that's what this world should be about. That is what Christians should be giving to this world as an example. God in the flesh among us, amen in Jesus, but he expects us to live that way in this world. You walking out of here today in your flesh, you be self-giving, you be self-emptying for the benefit of this world. That is God. He is love. And he calls us to that very life. But it's costly. It costs God to be so self-giving. He gives up everything. And so does Mary in many ways, right? Hey, if you want to become a Christian, I'm sorry, life ain't going to be just awesome all the time. How many times have you seen young Christians say that, right? I thought this, you know, a couple months in after becoming a Christian, you get baptized. Man, I thought life was just going to be fine and great. Welcome to the party, right? But you know what? It costs God. I mean, think about God, the Most High God. I mean, who is he dealing with? He's dealing with shepherds. He's dealing with people in Nazareth. He's dealing with this girl. She ain't got no influence in the world. He's going to come through her? What? And then when he come out, her whole marriage is going to be scandalized. Her reputation is a little sketchy. So that's how God going to do it? That's the plan? God's name is... Why didn't he do something more powerful? Might makes right and all this stuff. Why didn't he do it that way? That's not the way of God. And that shouldn't be the way of Christians. So don't buy into the way the culture trying to tell Christians to act. You can't master the mystery of what God is doing. You just better make room for it. Every time this church says yes to love, yes to God's presence, then this world sees who Jesus really is. So we sang Silent Night. It's not about escaping this world's pain. It's about confessing that God enters this world quietly, and peace doesn't come through domination. Love doesn't have to shout, but salvation begins with trust. You know, sleep in heavenly peace, it's not because everything is old, quiet everywhere, but it's an act of surrender. It's resting in the truth that God with us is already at work, even when we can't see what he's doing, and even when we can't understand it. I want to ask you this morning, as I near my close, where might God be present before you right now? And are you ready to respond in love, to give of yourself? Is love quietly asking for consent in your life rather than control? And are you willing to consent to God working in your life? These are the questions I think we should be asking ourselves this time of year. Because we live in a loud world. We live in a world that tells you you just gotta shut other people up and tell them what they have to do. This world equates power with noise, teaches you to put yourself first, everything you do first. And that is not the message of the Bible. So stop buying into it. Luke shows us a different vision, a God who comes near, a love that waits, and a peace that begins in stillness. So as we, you know, move towards Christmas, I hope we're not just remembering Mary's story. I hope that we're being invited into it. Somehow say in your own way, let it be with me according to your word, God. And I know some of our homes, some of y'all might be putting out a glass of milk and some cookies for a certain someone. I sure hope that your house is not more all about Santa than the Savior. I really hope that his arrival isn't the one you're expecting the most. I hope the presents under the tree aren't more important to you than the presence of the King. Because I'm afraid, my brothers and sisters, that may not be true in some of us. So let's reset right now. Let us be like Mary. Let's trust that love still takes on flesh. Let's believe that God is still with us. This morning, may we leave this place not louder, but deeper. Not necessarily more certain, but more available to God. And may the love that entered the world in silence dwell richly among us. I'm inviting Jim Long to come up and offer a prayer, a meaningful prayer, honestly crafted by some of our elders and ministers, and I really hope that you engage as Jim leads us in this prayer. It's a little bit, you know, it's a substantial prayer. It's not just a quick prayer. This is a prayer for this world and what's going on. And after Jim prays, we're going to offer some time of reflection. And parents, don't worry if your child loses their mind. Don't get mad. It's all right. We've all been there. Okay? Just be grateful that you got a child, right, today. And you know, God is with them. So don't worry about it. But we're going to pray. This is a house of prayer. And we're going to take a little moment of reflection after the prayer before we keep on singing. So I'm going to let Jim pray, and we'll take the Lord's Supper after he prays. Thanks, Jim. Amen.
It is a lengthy prayer, so it might be helpful to repeat it in your mind after I pray it. It's great, really nicely worded. Let's pray together. Eternal God, in this holy season of Christmas, the world still groans under the weight of conflict, fear, and injustice. And so we lift our hearts to you in longing and hope. We remember the promises proclaimed through the ages and give thanks that in Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, exalted in glory, every promise finds its yes, even in days of turmoil, war, and rumors of war. Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, who has come and will come again, renew the face of the earth. You are the Word made flesh, the light of the world, the true vine, and the door for the sheep. Shine in places darkened by violence, shut doors of hatred, and open paths of mercy and reconciliation. You are the good shepherd who knows his own, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and the bread of life who satisfies every hunger. Remember all who wander without a home, who wade in refugee camps and ruined cities, who hunger for daily bread and for simple safety. You are the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Grant wisdom to leaders who hold the power of life and death, that they may seek justice, turn from vengeance, and pursue the hard work of peace. You are the Holy One of Israel, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, and the Christ. Stand beside those crushed by corruption, oppression, and inequality, and lift up all who are despised, discriminated against, or forgotten. You are the teacher, the prophet greater than Moses, the great high priest, and the righteous judge. Expose lies that fuel violence and ideologies of hate, and teach your church to walk in truth and courage. You are the cornerstone the builders rejected, now the firm foundation of our faith. Rebuild communities where trust has collapsed, where neighbors fear one another, and where public life is poisoned by division. You are the Redeemer, the Savior of the world, the Deliverer, the Shepherd of our souls. Redeem what wars have destroyed. Deliver those trapped in cycles of revenge, and shepherd children who know more of sirens than of songs. You are the resurrection, the life, the way, the truth, and the life, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Make a way where there seems to be no way. Bring truth where propaganda reigns, and breathe new life into people exhausted by conflict and anxiety. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the bridegroom who has come for his beloved, and the faithful and true witness who reigns forever. Rule in hearts, homes, and nations, that swords may be beaten into plowshares and weapons laid down. In this Christmas season, as we rejoice that you have come and await the day you return in glory, teach us to be peacemakers in our neighborhoods, workplaces, and nations, courageous in justice, generous in mercy, and steadfast in hope. Gracious and loving God, on this final Sunday of Advent, we give you thanks that you did not remain distant, but came near to us. You chose not power, but presence. Not distance, but flesh. Not abandonment, but Emmanuel, God with us. As Mary once said yes to your surprising love, we come now to say yes again. Yes to your grace. Yes to your mercy. Yes to the life you offer in Christ. At this table, we remember that love took on a body, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, sharing our hunger, our sorrow, and our joy. In the bread we break, we see the humility of Christ, who gave himself fully for the life of the world. In the cup we receive, we taste the covenant of love poured out for many. Come, Holy Spirit, make us aware of your nearness. Meet us in our waiting, our weariness, our longing for peace. As we receive this meal, form us into a people shaped by love. A love that welcomes the stranger, bears one another's burdens, and carries your presence into a hurting world. May this table prepare us to receive again the gift of Christ's birth and to live as those who believe that God is truly with us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the one who came, the one who comes, and the one who will come again. Amen. Amen.